Good afternoon. The House Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development come to order. We have but one bill on our agenda today. Fortunately, it's an important one, and we have the primary author and sponsor with us. I'll start by opening work session on House Bill 3633. Invite Representative Boone and Mr. Claren forward. While they're getting settled, Beth, you want to give us a quick synopsis again of how we got here?
House Bill 3633, originally heard it on the 2nd. For the record, there's a -4 amendment in front of you, which has a no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement was issued on it. The amendment establishes that community-based renewable energy projects included in marine renewable energy resources developed in accordance with the territorial sea plan or located on structures adjacent to coastal shorelands are part of the community-based renewable energy projects. It establishes a marine renewable energy resource study fund and declares an emergency effective upon passage. There was additional written testimony submitted for the record.
Thank you, Beth. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32, the beautiful upper left coast. And
soon to be productive.
And soon to be productive with the rest of the coast. And I've brought up here with me today Paul Claren from DLCD. And when he talks, I'll let him introduce himself with his proper title, because I'm sure I'll make a mistake. But he is sort of the voice of the ocean on the coast from the department. He's been there a long time. He knows what he's doing. And he's, as you can see, this bill has, or will be soon, dramatically changed from what you saw before last week. And there is a certain amount of information that we are going to be needing as we consider ocean renewable energy sources along the coast of Oregon. As I said last time when I testified for this bill, the world is watching Oregon, and we are being vetted right now by several companies. There are companies that already have projects ready to go in the water in this sector, and it became very clear to us that we need more information as we move forward in this area. So we have decided to not create a new task force, but utilize an existing task force which is known and trusted and loved along the coast, and that is the Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee. And they were recently, six months ago, they were tasked with adding ocean energy to their plan and have been working on that. And they're awaiting some of their data to come in now. So I see this as kind of a phase two of what they're doing, but also to answer some of the unanswered questions about this this new energy source that we're wanting to develop along the coast, if doable and if reasonable and as necessary. And so they will be doing a study, and they will utilize existing data, existing study results, but fill in the holes with things that haven't been answered yet. And as you can see in page two of the amendment, it ticks off a few things that they might be considering. And not mandating those things, because they're going to be decided on by the when they get to that point, the group will be looking at that. And I'm going to let Paul explain in more detail some of the process that will go by. We're also going to not be using our state funds because we don't have any, and so we're going to be hopefully, and we've already started raising money to pay for this, so we are confident that we'll be able to do this and come back to the next legislative session in 2011 with a report from the task force, or the TISPAC, and any recommendations that they may have. So I'm going to go ahead and let Paul or to you take over and
thank you, Representative
fill in
Boone.
The blanks.
We're happy to hear from the voice of the ocean.
That's a first.
That's a new title. It's
the last time you'll ever hear it. Paul Claren. I'm the Marine Affairs Coordinator for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And the department strongly supports the bill. There is a lingering question among coastal communities about how this new industrial development in the ocean, renewable energy, will affect them directly and explicitly. And though there are a lot of studies being done, by OET, by the Department of Energy, Federal Department of Energy, the National Labs, Mineral Management Service. Everybody is in a rush over the past 2 years to get out there and study different aspects of the renewable energy industry and its implications for the ocean coastal environment, for existing users, for communities. The question we keep hearing, I'm sure Deb keeps hearing it all the time, Representative Boone keeps hearing it all the time, from her constituents is, what does this mean to us? What does this mean to folks in Newport or Garibaldi or anywhere? How would a development in our nearshore area fit in to our community? And so what this bill hopes to do is look at what is being discovered out there, look at the variety of studies, and do sort of a short gap analysis, try to answer some of the questions that aren't being directly answered by the studies that are now being conducted, and tie together that information with existing information to tell a story for the local communities and to the local communities about how renewable energy will become part of their local energy infrastructure. You know, what it means to them in terms of the impacts to the environment, effects on users, things like that. So it'll fill a gap in the current suite of knowledge that we have about renewable energy. It's a new technology. It's an evolving technology. There's a lot that we'll have to go on faith with because we simply don't know where the technology will evolve, its footprint, environmental impacts, the cost efficiency of it, the efficiency of the technology itself. But a study like this will certainly go a long ways towards answering questions and making local community members feel more comfortable with inviting this new development into their areas. So, you have before you some comments from me. And what I tried to do is in the hasty scripting of this bill, there was some language in there that was confusing for our department in how this would exactly work. The Treasury would establish a special fund. Monies from outside sources would be put into the fund. The department is giving authorization to extract that money to conduct the study. We would, in fact, contract for that study. And then the Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee, which is an advisory committee to my commission, would review the study and direct recommendations back to you at the conclusion. And that's the way it's supposed to work. But the language in the draft four, in the dash fours that you have before you, needs to be more clear in how we interact with that fund and the responsibility of agencies and stakeholders in scoping the project itself. So with those few minor word edits, I think we have a very clear knowledge of what our role is and how we're to do it. This whole thing has to take place in the next year. So it's a very fast turnaround on actually getting money into the fund, and I understand that there's some money in there or promised already, and getting a contract out the door, a study completed, a review done, back to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kleiner. Just for the benefit of the committee, I would say that we're likely, should we adopt the amendments and pass the bill out, we will send it to Ways and Means, so there will be an opportunity to accommodate the technical fixes you mentioned. Representative Boone, I just wanted to
follow up a little bit on why we're doing it this way, and in particular why the Territorial Sea Plan is the chosen one, so to speak. And again, it's having lived on the coast now for 35 years and having been in all the way down to local government, now up to state government, representing the coast on the Coastal Caucus of the 9 members of our body who represent the entire coast of Oregon, and the myriad of issues and challenges that have come up before people on the coast and the communities to consider how their impacts will affect them, et cetera, we have learned that groups of people who come in from somewhere else and tell the coast what's going to happen really doesn't work very well. So we chose, and truly known, loved, and trusted, this group is. And it's headed up by Mr. Claren and Commissioner, County Commissioner from Tillamook, Tim Josie. And virtually all the stakeholders and players have a seat at that table.
Sure.
And so they're very well represented, and the users, the stakeholders, and people in the coastal communities trust this body and what they have done so far, and what they've done in the past, and what they will be doing with this study. And so, to me, that's, we're 90% of the way there with that, in that sense. They can hit the ground running, don't have to vet a new group, we don't have to go through the motions of setting up another task force, and virtually asking some of the same people to serve on yet another task force. So we'll be happy that when they can get going on this and get this information in, it's going to be critical when people who do think about developing some sort of energy source on the coast want to come into our communities. They'll have a clearer picture. I have received a lot of support from that sector, and one of the things at the very beginning, they said, I was going to do a bill like this last year, and we were waiting for some information to come into OWET, and now they've got some of that there with their market utility initiative. And there's new leadership at OWET. They'll be helping us along the way. We're going to be using the same people and bodies and interest groups that we see on a lot of the other issues that the coast is considering now. So this is a natural for us to use this group. And so with that, I would say any questions I'm happy to answer. And I know it seemed like it was a fast track job, but this process has been very fast. And I was remarking to Representative Reed, here I only have this one bill, and it's all I've been doing, breathing, living, you know. I forgot I even have another committee next door that I got to be to.
Well, I think that's to your credit, Representative Boone, to pick an important bill that deserves a lot of work and a lot of credit. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow on that point, just a comment, Representative, and to thank you for all the hard work that you've put into this to bring this bill through the many different steps that it's gone through. I think you've got a great bill here. And as somebody who represents an urban community, to say that this is an issue that all Oregonians, I think, have a strong interest in, and folks in my district as well as your district. But I think it makes sense to do this in a way because the physical impacts will be along the coast, to do this in a way that makes sense and works for the people who live on the coast and are going to be dealing with these impacts. So I think the method that you have proposed here is a good one. I look forward to seeing the partnership with the agency and to make sure that everything gets, all the T's get crossed and the I's get dotted down in Ways and Means. And I think you've done a great job in putting this together. And Mr. Chair, just to add on that, I think this committee knows, but out of an abundance of caution, I should probably also make sure that, I'll say that for the work session.
We're in work session.
Oh, we are in work session.
Motion.
Potential conflict of interest on the bill.
Please state.
A member of my immediate family is employed by the part of the department that will be working on this bill.
Thank you. We'll note that for the record.
And I need to share the glory on this with the chair and others, too. It was a group effort. But thank you for your kind words.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a question about the funding. My understanding from reading through the materials is that if there's not $100,000 raised within 60 days of the end of this session, that this all shuts down. Is that correct?
Well, that's what it says, and we're hoping that we can not have to deal with that issue. We're hoping we'll have enough money to start it, but yeah.
I think the answer is yes, that's correct. And the second part is right. We're hoping to beat that deadline.
Then the follow-up is, where will that money be coming from? And what I'm getting at is, what's the likelihood that it will be funded by companies that have a direct stake in the outcome, thereby creating the potential for hindsight bias, where, you know, like you have pharmaceutical companies that fund certain research, and lo and behold, it supports their view of life. And so how do you maintain your objectivity?
If I may, Representative Richardson, for some clarity to the threshold. The threshold is not set in the bill for what is sufficient for the study. But if you were to ask me, I'd say 50 to 100, and you get what you pay for, essentially. A good study, probably 100. You could do something with less, but I think you need at least 50 to get something sufficient out the door. On the second point, wherever the funds come from, the department with other agencies and stakeholders, OSU, some experts from OSU, will develop the scope of the study and manage the study. We're not going to allow ourselves to be controlled by the source of the funding of the study. It'll go to that special funded treasury. We will take the money from there, not knowing who put it in, and do an RFP for the study. And then the study will go back to TESPAC, and they'll be the ones who actually look at the study and make the recommendations to you. To the degree that they are a fairly independent group and a very broad range of stakeholders, including industry, folks from PUDs, Bonneville, others, you'll have a, I think they'll be able to generate a very broadly supported consensus opinion on the results of the study.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the question, Representative Richardson. I think it's an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that out. Are there other questions?
Question.
Representative Thatcher.
Thank you. I've heard the term TESPAC a few times. Could you please?
Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee.
Okay, and follow up to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing you say, Representative Boone, that they would be integral to this study, and I'm trying to figure out where it's in the bill, because I see it being pretty DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development centric.
Go ahead.
I'm just wondering.
I can explain
how that's working out.
Representative Thatcher, the Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee was created by our commission in order to assist in amending the Territorial Sea for a new chapter that was recently adopted into the Territorial Sea Plan to deal with siting and regulating renewable energy in the state's territorial sea. So TESPAC was created by the commission for that purpose. Their only role here is to review the output of that study.
And Mr. Clinton, excuse me, just so I can say, the territorial sea is 3 miles out, is
it's
that right?
It's 0 to 3 miles.
Okay,
from the beach out to 3 miles belongs to the state. It's the proprietary agency is Department of State Lands. There are several other agencies that have regulatory authority within that. So that narrow strip owned and managed by the state, and we have a plan that does that.
Thank you. That helps me with my nexus question, because I'm thinking, okay, this is ocean-based renewable energy. We've got the Bureau of Land over here.
It's a little like the bill we encountered in the last session that dealt with fill removal permits that was also the Department of State Land. So.
Well, with the dash two, there was a Department of Energy involvement, and I saw a nexus there, so mm-hmm. I was just, okay, that explains it.
Very observant of you.
The Department of Land Conservation and Development is the home for the state's coastal program, which is a federally approved coastal management program, authorized and funded under the Federal Coastal Zone Management Act. So we are actually funded by NOAA, and we are the state's coastal management program, although we are housed in the Land Conservation Development Department.
Thank you.
You need a cheat sheet almost to do that.
Are there other questions?
And I apologize if I just assume you all know everything I know about this. So it's hard to shift gears sometimes. But please come to the coast often, and you can watch what we do and become part of us.
Thank you very much. Given that this is something of a public hearing, since we've just now seen the Dash 4 amendments for the first time, I wonder if there are others who would like to be heard on the subject before we go forward. Mr. Bergstein. Is there anyone else while he's coming forward? Okay, we'll give him an opportunity when you finish. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is Len Bergstein. I'm here representing Ocean Power Technologies, not one of the pharmaceutical companies that wants to run the study, but one of the renewable energy companies dealing with ocean power, and we are in the process of doing a project right now. I've got a couple of sheets of pictures that I would just like parenthetically to have you take a look at, and because I know that this committee has struggled and worked with your colleagues in both houses as a legislature to try and make sure that there's a framework of Oregon policies that are in place, not just to have renewable energy, not just to save the world, if you will, by reducing our reliance on foreign oil, but also to create jobs. And I think what you'll see when those are passed around, there's a couple of pictures that show you exactly that every morning now, 30 workers wake up in the Portland metropolitan area and go to work at Oregon Iron Works, and they are working on bending steel and creating the first buoy that will be in the water later this year. So the work, the pictures that you'll see depict the work that's being done by workers right now on policies that you've created within the last year or so to help develop the ocean renewable energy industry right here in Oregon. You'll also see at the bottom of the one of the sides of the page a couple of the vessels that are done by that are owned and operated by Sauce Brothers, one of the state's leading barge and towboat operators, and in the world, and certainly located in Coos Bay. And we have contracted with them to take those buoys once they're done at Oregon Iron Works, bring them across the bar down to Gardner, and to deploy them into the water. So I think that's in the beginning, and just this one buoy, Chair Reed and members of the committee, we're attempting to show that, in fact, the things that you wanted to do on this committee and with your colleagues are actually being done right now. We're turning good, solid Oregon policies into good, solid Oregon jobs. And that's really the whole purpose here, is to make this happen as fast as we can. I'm here to tell you that Ocean Power Technologies is delighted with the way this bill is moving. Very pleased with the work that Representative Boone and others have done to make this a significant bill and kind of to put it together with the other policies that the state has got. We are anxious to participate, as we have already, in the Territorial Sea Plan Advisory Committee. We've been part of that project and that work under Paul Claren's leadership, and we will continue. And as I've indicated in a note to your committee administrator, our company is willing to step up to play an appropriate role in funding this study. We like the direction it's going. We believe that it is the responsibility of the private sector to come and help share the load and to make the public policies move forward. We're not trying to bend the policies in any specific way. As Paul Claren indicated, we have full faith in the way the policies will be developed and the studies will be developed, but we're going to jump in and help with some of the funding and also some of the work. So I'll close my comments there, Chair Reed, and handle any questions. We're delighted to support 3633-4.
Thank you, Mr. Bergstein, particularly for the pictures. A very good reminder of what the real impact of what we're considering here is. Are there any questions for Mr. Bergstein? Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Len, can you tell us how many jobs are being generated at Oregon Iron Works and possibly at what wage rate?
If I can, Chair Reed and Representative Wood, I would like to get back to you with the specifics of it. There are 30 jobs. I was just talking to Dave Gibson today. 30 jobs. Now, what they're doing is they're moving some people around in the following way. What they're doing, because the type of work is very complicated and the first time that a commercial buoy has been made in the United States, they are actually hiring in some higher-skilled workers hiring in some lower-skilled workers for some of the other projects they've got and moving some of their very trusted folks that work in kind of iron and steel work and moving them over, perhaps off a streetcar project onto this, and they're bringing in others to work at their this other projects that they've got. So they're, Dave, I'm going to have to be asked a question like this, and can I say that you are either saving or creating 30 jobs? And he said, yes, that would be a fair statement to have on the record, and it is, I can get you the more details. In terms of the wage rate, it would be their normal wage rate and probably at the top of their wage rate at Oregon Iron Works, because they think of this as a fairly complex and specialized project. I'll get you the rest of that, Representative Witt. Thank you for that question. I'll get you more information.
Mr. Chairman, given the fact that our state has lost 124,000 jobs in this recession alone, and many of those jobs tend to be at the high income level, I think projects like this are exceedingly important in terms of getting our state's economy back on track.
One of the things that attracts me about it, too. Thank you, Representative Witt.
If I can, Chair Reed, Representative Witt, I really should have answered the question more fully. If we go from the one buoy to the 10, which is what we hope to do at Reedsport in the first two phases, that will be 184 metalworking jobs. And then we start to kick in with the kinds of jobs that will come at Soss Brothers. They will be responsible for the mooring, the cable work, the variety of different activities that will be able to be what I would call migrated to the coast. A good example is American Bridge, terrific company that bid into the first project. They're down off the Umpqua. They were not quite able to kind of put all the pieces together to do the first buoy, but I know that they're going to be back into the competition and they'll go after that work. I know that Dale Soss at Soss Brothers is now looking at the mooring and the anchoring systems and whatever, and is working with Ocean Power Technologies to make sure that the anchoring, mooring, and other related projects that go on in Oregon will be down at the coast. So that you will be able to, I hope, look with pride at the work that you've done, that the jobs are good paying jobs, and they're going to get down to the coast.
And in the longer run, Representative Witt, Mr. Burstein, isn't it also true that Ocean Power Technologies and other related companies might begin to view Oregon as one of the real pioneers, and we might be seeing more the generation of new technologies and new approaches that continue our place at the front of the line on these technologies?
Chair Reed, you're exactly right. I mean, between us, I mean, quite frankly, if Oregon State University's fine work wasn't around, we'd have to invent them. They're doing great work at increasing the world's knowledge in ocean energy. If we weren't around, they'd probably have to invent us, because we're a place where they're going to be testing all of the knowledge-based work that they're doing at the university. And so we do believe that Oregon is going to be the center of this. Now, we're in a global competition. We are testing one of our buoys off of Orkney Island in Scotland. We have work with Australia. This is not to kind of pit Oregon against the rest, kind of another place where the company does business. It's really just to tell you that there is a global competition for this, and we believe that Oregon has got unique competitive advantages. That's why we're here. That's why we want to be in Gardner and subsequently in Coos Bay. But we're not in the race by ourselves.
Well, I think it underscores the urgency of our action and to answer these questions and decide the policy of the state. So appreciate that. Other questions?
And Mr. Chair, if I might
please
add too, this is not the first ocean energy bill we've seen in the last. I've been working on this the whole time I've been in the legislature now, and somewhat before that. But this is something that we started. It was two sessions ago now. We had a wave energy bill. We talked about allowing for testing, et cetera. We have worked hard to, incrementally move forward in this to enable us to be able to accommodate these, but with a sense of guardianship for our ocean and make sure that our stakeholders and our coastal communities are well into the process and part of the process. And one of the things I wanted to mention that came out of the data that the Sea Plan did when they queried some of the fishermen and got some mapping done and some right in the in the area where they claim is their best fishing grounds, and we might have a problem if something went there, but if they moved it just over here a little bit, there everybody would be just fine. And we're working with things like that to enable the fishing community and the wave energy sector to coexist symbiotically, so to speak, so that we can gain on all ends. We can keep the jobs we have, create some more jobs, boost our RPS, and enable the coast to be a major player in the renewable energy sector.
Thank you very much. Not seeing any interest from anyone else on wanting to testify on this, I will just say that we have, as Representative Thatcher noted, been in conversation with the Department of Energy. I guess I'd look for a head nod here from the person who is representing the Department of Energy. She's nodding that they are in support of the bill with the amendments. As we said before, if we adopt the amendments and pass the bill out, we'd like it to go to Ways and Means, where there are a couple of more technical fixes to be made, and hopefully receive the Ways and Means approval for the authority to accept contributions and manage the fund that the bill would establish. Is there any further discussion before we seek a motion? I don't see any.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash four amendments to House Bill 3633.
Thank you. Representative Garrett moves the dash four amendments to House Bill 3633, dated February 10th, 2010. Is there any discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion? I don't see any. Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3633 are adopted. Representative Garrett.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3633 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Garrett moves House Bill 3633 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gilliam.
Small point of order. I thought he delivered the motion quite well, but just to again note, Representative Garrett is not the vice chair of this committee.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam, and it is, I would suggest, a very appropriate thing for you to observe, given that this is the day following your debut on national television.
Try to stay focused.
Was it your debut? You nearly escaped the meeting without bringing that up. But
get Ramona down here. We're off subject.
All right. Very good. Representative Garrett has made the motion. Is there any further discussion of the motion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. House Bill 3633, as amended, goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation and on to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative Boone. Thank you, Mr. Claren. And if there is no further comment for the good of the order, we'll...
Mr. Chair, don't we have a resolution floating around?
You're right, we do. First, let me close the work session on House Bill 3633. There was an informal resolution, which I... Are you suggesting,
really
Representative Bailey, that you would like to read the resolution?
I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, if somebody on that end of the dais might be interested in that.
I think Representative Frederick, you have it, and being the newest member
I'm
of the
trying to read the,
perhaps?
Yes, I think it's appropriate for me to try to read this here. Let's see. Resolved.
Look.
Yes, the handwriting is a little bizarre. Resolved that given his outstanding performance on the... television show Leverage, Representative Vic Gilliam be removed from the list of truly bad actors.
Oh, well,
and be added to the list of Oregon icons, where he will join the Dungeness Crab, the Oregon Duck, the Buddy Beaver, and the Marion Barry as an outstanding feature of the state.
And Representative Frederick, I think most people voted on the resolution as it went around.
Yes.
Is that true?
I believe so. Well, yes, I got a 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I think I've got an eye on quite a few here, yes.
I think it's unanimous support.
Yes,
so
I think that's true.
We'll keep that as a resolution. Congratulations on your...
I prepared some comments. I'd like to thank Debbie Boone.
The ocean from the
voice of the ocean.
Thank you very much. We are just to note for the benefit of the committee, we do have a meeting on Tuesday. We don't yet know what bills we might be receiving from the Senate, but I expect there might be a few. And we also have some what I think will be productive informational hearings scheduled for our remaining time together that will get us started on the interim. So with that, appreciate your attendance and attention, and we're adjourned. Ha